Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And we got a real special part two of the Goosebumps.
Spectacular. A real spooky episode.
Yeah. And keeping with our spooky month, which still has failed to catch on, I'm kind of disappointed.
Were you expecting something super grand?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking we were going to be the next Chocolate Rain. Remember that guy?
I do.
Taj Monday was his name, I think.
I believe you're correct.
Man. Well, yeah, I'm his only subscriber left to his fan club. But, yeah. No, it should be fun. We read Goosebumps. I read One Day at Horrorland. What did you read?
And I had I Live in Your Basement. In keeping with my basement theme.
Was it more of the same? Like, was it still? I mean, we'll get into that, but did it disappoint?
No, it did not at all, actually.
And we're going to review the episode of Goosebumps, the TV show, where it was the blob that ate everyone.
Which also involved a basement.
It all involves lots of basements. Anyway, did you do anything cool this week?
Not really. I don't know. The iPhone game that I've been working on is finally coming out soon. There was some holdup because of the update to iOS 8.
Are you able to plug it? I mean, or is there?
I don't want to really plug it until it actually comes out.
Nice.
You know, so that way people can actually download it and things.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
It looks fun. It's very random, but it should be cool.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's awesome. My game that I've been working on, it still doesn't exist.
So, your paperboard game?
Yeah. I did do quite a bit of writing this week, which was...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little bit of time, and so I wrote, I don't know, not all. For me, it was all right. Another 2,500 words or so. So, mm-hmm. Most of which will probably get deleted
Can you say what it's about?
No.
Is it about a basement?
Yeah, it's called The Blob That Also Ate Everyone.
In a basement.
Yeah. No, one thing that I was really excited about, AMC Horror-thon.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, have you been keeping up at all with it?
No, I have not.
I wasn't even aware of it until I caught an article. They were like, here are all the movies that are playing. And it's pretty good. And because it's AMC, they're not having to cut out much other than just cuss words. And so anyway, yeah, what I did was I just DVR'd. I filled up my DVR, which is like it went from like 4% to like 60 so far.
What are they playing?
Lots of Friday the 13th, which I like Friday the 13th. I only own two of them on DVD. It's not really. It wasn't. I know it's iconic horror stuff, but it was never really my thing. I like Nightmare on Elm Street much better. Not that they're not, you know, mutually exclusive or anything. But yeah, I just never owned them, so I was like, hell yeah, I'm getting all of those. So got those. They put on a bunch of Stephen King movies, so I got Needful Things. I know Cujo's playing, but I already have that. Thinner. So anyway, set your DVR.
What's the one with the cat people?
Sleepwalkers?
No. Did they do that one?
Well, they may have, but I wouldn't have DVR'd that. That was not a great movie at all. So anyway, but yeah, that was cool. And also,
did they do the Langoliers?
I don't think so. They stayed away from his like miniseries stuff. So
okay.
But, you know, a lot of the two-hour movies and stuff they're doing. And so I got mine all the way. I did that on, like, Wednesday. And so I recorded all the way to the next Wednesday, everything I wanted to see. So, and then my DVR cut off. So, yeah, I'm going to continue doing that. I'm sure my wife is not going to be happy that, you know, I had to delete all of her stuff to
all
squeeze
of her stories.
Yeah. Yeah. All of her soaps. But does anyone actually watch soap operas anymore?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. My mom did, like, but I mean, it's like I watched a couple of episodes with James Franco on the
General Hospital.
Yeah. Just because I'm a James Franco fan.
Yeah, that guy, he's making some odd career choices these days.
What do you mean? He was in the Veronica Mars movie.
As himself, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. He and Shia LaBeouf ought to team up.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I do want to see Fury. It's getting really good ratings.
It looks good. Shia LaBeouf kind of sounds like a doofus in the commercials, though. Have you heard him, like, talking stuff?
Not really.
I mean, no. I don't know if it's just, like, cherry-picked scenes or whatever, but he's like, and stuff like that.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It, like, shows an explosion, and then he's... Yeah. It'd be great if the entire movie he didn't do it unless he could film with a bag on his head.
I don't know if that would be period accurate. Right?
I don't know. But yeah, I want to see that. If it's judging anything by my plans to see Gone Girl, I'll probably never see it. Because I've been talking about seeing that since it came out. And every week, me and Kelsey make plans. And every week, something pops up, and we don't do that. So, still haven't seen Gone Girl. Hear good things. That's
Seth Gordon.
Yeah. Have you kept up American Horror Story?
I have not. You know, I have never actually seen an episode of that show.
Really?
It's one of my things that, like, I keep wanting to watch, but I've never seen any of it.
That's your The Wire for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, we got Amazon Prime. I'm getting all of The Wires. Turned it on, and then I forget. Something happened, and I was like, I think I just fell asleep immediately. And I was like, got to keep doing that. Never. Like, I don't know. I've been wanting to see it forever, and then when it became available, just not watching. But anyway, no, American Horror Story, this season's really good. Well,
is it?
It's weird. I mean, it's been weird from the beginning on all the seasons, except season two, which I didn't really like, so I didn't watch. But this one's really cool. Like, the freak show, it's basically the quote-unquote freaks are... There's none of them that are really evil. It's another, like, Todd Browning type thing where... You know, Todd Browning's Freaks, where it was all the people that were the actual freaks the sideshow freaks were, you know, it's them being marginalized. But there is a, anyone that's super afraid of clowns should probably steer clear of this season because there's a clown murderer on the loose and he's missing half his jaw. It's pretty good. And the makeup, like the effects, I don't know how they're doing some of it, like, because I don't know. But they also have a woman with two heads, so probably a lot of it's CG, and it's just, I don't know. But yeah, it's good. That's what we've been watching. We're only two episodes in, so
it's only been a couple of episodes, right?
Yeah, it's only two episodes is current, so you should, and it's all on demand. Oh, it may not be on demand through your provider.
What I have been watching, however, is Z Nation. Have you watched that?
The sci-fi show?
Yeah, put out by The Asylum.
No. Is it
with
good?
With DJ Qualls.
No.
And and the guy, the main character from American Werewolf in Paris.
Oh, Thomas Everett Scott?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's in it too for some reason. It's basically a B zombie movie in TV show form. Like it's no, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, you may or may not like it because it's completely different spirit. It's like Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, where it's kind of campy and stuff. But it's entertaining. I mean, it's lighthearted zombie, basically. Yeah.
So instead like, of
I haven't seen any of the main characters die yet. Whereas if it was Walking Dead, this point in the season, half of them would be dead.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's, well, kind of. I actually only watched the first season of The Walking Dead. I have not kept up with it in any form. Like, I was like, oh, okay, so this is a soap opera that's going to go on forever until people lose interest, and it's just about the people, and there will be 5 minutes of zombies. Every episode, 5 minutes of zombies.
That's what the comics like, too.
See, and because I didn't read...
The comic will go like issues without even seeing a zombie.
Now, in the comic, I don't really know from the show. I think they explained it in whenever they go to like the CDC in the first season, but I can't really remember because that's kind of, you know, I finished the first season and never really watched it again. But in the comic, from what I've read, if people die of any reason, they come back as zombies.
Yeah, they do it in the show too.
Do they? Okay, yeah. So is it just an airborne thing that...
In the comic, there was no, like, CDC
scene. Yeah, yeah.
And so it never explained it. It's way more unexplained in the comics.
Which is a good way to keep it in the comics, but people watching TV shows kind of want answers. We want answers. So, anyway, I don't know.
It's good, though. It's really tense. You know
the comic
I mean?
Or the show, or both?
Both actually.
Really?
I think there's been a lot more downtime in the comic. Of course, it's been running a lot longer. It's on like 140 or something like that issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a few behind on that though. I think I'm in like 120 or something like that. But you know, there's a lot of like downtime and character development, and then you'll have issues of zombies, but there's been a lot less of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been some of it, but it's been really good. I mean, it's really intense because you never know when someone's going to die.
Oh really?
Like it could be anyone at any time,
but like, not no Rick, right?
But not Rick. Yeah.
Nah. Well, I don't know. I mean, honestly, what I'll probably do is once they wrap the show, because, I mean, it's still a huge show. It's one of the biggest watch cable shows. Once they finally wrap it in probably, what, season 10 or 8 or something like that, when they finally wrap the show, I'll probably go back and watch it all. It just, for some reason, I mean, I was all in at season 1, and then by the time season 2 came out, I was like, eh. And just never, I missed one episode and I was like, no.
Season 2 actually wasn't as good. They cut the budget like a lot.
Yeah. And they took Frank Darabont out.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not back or anything. Speaking of which.
No, but it's gotten much better. Go ahead.
Speaking of which, I got Shawshank from a pawn shop yesterday for 49 cents. Uh-huh. And 49. Yeah, 49 cents. I was really excited. I got a lot of movies from the pawn shop yesterday. I got 6 movies for $8.
Nice.
But that was the, you know, Frank Darabont connection. And yep. I actually got The Mist because Kelsey's never seen it.
I love that movie.
I didn't buy it, though. I got it from the library.
So, watch the black and white version if it's on your version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. Not. I looked. Mine's not the special set. Because that was the 2-disc set. I heard that the CG didn't pop out half as much in that. Like, it made it...
It looks a lot more realistic.
Yeah.
Like, in black and white.
Yeah. It's good. I've always wanted to see it. Do you have it?
Yeah. And that's what the director... I forgot who did that.
Frank Darabont as well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He wanted it in black and white, but the studio says no.
So, excuse me, I was taking a drink. I can hardly blame him. I mean, movies in black and white don't tend to sell.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, whatever. I don't know.
I've been wanting to catch up on that, what was it, Town of the Living Dead, also on sci-fi. That looks awesome.
I keep forgetting to record it.
Yeah, it looks great. I wonder if it's on demand. It's probably only a couple episodes in as well. So maybe, I don't know. But all right, well, you want to take, oh, one more thing. Me and Brian used to be, I mean, I guess we still are, but not really active.
We technically never broke up.
As a band. Yeah, I know, I didn't finish that it was a band.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Brian.
We never broke up.
That also reminds me, I ran into an old coworker from Academy yesterday at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And also me and Brian used to work at Academy. And he's like, hey, what's up, Brian? And I was like... Hey, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm Craig. And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, y'all both always just hung out. And I was like, yeah, we still do. And he went, well, so what are you up to? And he's like, oh, I got these babies. He's like, you know, I don't really see the old crew from Academy. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right. Well, anyway. But no, me and Brian used to be in a punk band that never really broke up. And I guess we're somewhat... We're not active, but we're still a band. We have intentions to put out another album. I don't know if they'll be fulfilled. I want to do one album every decade until we're just crazy old. I think it'd be great. And we'll never change it. Like, it'll be punk rock forever.
I like that idea.
Yeah. So, anyway, but we put our stuff on Bandcamp. And... it's, well, we only put our last album, the one that we're the most proud of, Eat Their Words. It's on Bandcamp. It's pay whatever you want. So you can put $0 if you don't want to give us any money. Or you could be nicer and give us, you know, a buck or two. And you can download it for free or whatever you want to pay. Go to theremotejunkies.bandcamp.com. And we're going to lead out right now with one of our songs. What song?
I don't know.
All right, we'll lead out with Motion Sickness.
Analgeist.
We'll save that one for later. We'll do our poppy stuff at the top. All right, and this is Motion Sickness by the Remote Junkies. Motion Sickness by the Remote Junkies. Those brings back some good times. Good times in my life.
I don't know how to respond to that.
No, you didn't have fun.
Oh no, it was great. It was totally great.
Yeah. Our intention when starting this podcast was also to get our drummer Chris in on the podcast with us, but he said no. And that's that story, but he may pop in on a future episode. Do you want to start with your book or the TV show?
I don't know. What did we start with last time?
I don't know.
Let's do books first.
Okay, you go first. Didn't, oh, dude, first more people time? Are interested in the show than books, so let's just, yeah, do the show.
Make them wait.
Okay.
All right. No, we can do the movie first, or the TV show first.
Okay. Okay. So we watched The Blob That Ate Everyone.
Yep.
Do you want to do a summary? You want me to, or what?
You do it.
Okay. So these kids, much like in Say Cheese and Die, they go into a place that they weren't supposed to. In this case, it was a store that was ravaged by lightning the night before.
It looked like it had burnt down. It was all charred and stuff in the inside.
And so this kid walks in, and
there's crime scene tape.
Yeah.
And like a big sign that says stay out. And he's like, well, let's go in and see what's in there. Anyway, go on.
There is a epidemic of in these books of kids doing things that they're not supposed to, or in the TV show, I should say.
And so that made me think, are these like morality tales?
I don't know. Well, I have a lot of questions about this episode. But anyway, so he walks in, and he had finished telling his friends at school that that he has this idea for a story, and it's a blob that eats everyone.
Well, he shows them like a rough draft.
Yeah.
And it's kind of terrible, let's be honest.
I mean, it's horrible. It's the worst thing of the show. So anyway, so they walk in, and he grabs like this typewriter, and it like electrocutes him. Immediately, it's just running this crappy animated lightning through him. And so he is like, oh, that was weird. And the girl's like, oh, well, maybe there's some loose wires. Like, on the thing that's not plugged in.
Yeah, it's on like, this typewriter, there's some loose wires.
Yeah, and he
decides to steal it.
Yeah, he's about to walk out with it. And then this lady pops up, and she's like, hey, kid, I've lost everything. Go ahead and take that typewriter, but only if he writes a real scary story. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know why I made her like then, that. Only well, if you...
She was like that, though, because, like, you know, it shows a shot of the children leaving, and then it pans back to her, and she's gone. But it just seems like she was trying to get them to wreak havoc on the town or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, she had malicious intent, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the only time you ever see her.
Yeah. So the kid's like, this typewriter is going to be great to write my story on. And so he and his, what?
Just your little kid voice. Yeah. It's going to be great to write my story on.
That was how he was. At first I was like, damn, is that Andy Milonakis? Like it looked, but anyway, so he goes home. And this girl, I don't know, like when I write, I don't want anyone to be around me. And this girl's like hovering over his shoulder. And she's like, go ahead and write.
He's trying to impress her.
Huh?
I think he's trying to impress her.
Well, I don't know. Was she a love interest of his? And I just didn't catch it?
Possibly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, as much of a love interest you can have with like 11-year-old kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw Moonrise Kingdom, and it seemed like they were more in love. But anyway, no. So she's like, go ahead. And so he's like, it was a dark and stormy night or whatever. And so all of a sudden it starts storming. And then his dad pops in immediately with candles. Yeah. Did you find something odd about his dad and the candles? Because he popped up immediately with them, right? And then he's like, the wind. So he's like, here's these candles, and then leaves. And then he's like.
And then later comes back with a flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's like, why did he have candles and then also a flashlight? Anyway, but go on.
So then he's like, the wind howls, and the wind starts howling. And then he's like, and they were all alone. And then he's like, you know what? It's too dark. I can't see. Let's go get some candles. My dad has a ton of them. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
And
there were a ton of candles just lit around the house.
His dad was on point, ready for ready for a storm. I mean, I can't tell you. Like, if there's a storm that knocks stuff out, I'm reverting to my iPhone flashlight. I don't have just a ton of candles around the house.
It's the 90s. Well, they didn't have iPhone flashlights.
No, but they had flashlights. I mean, but I guess I need to stock up on my candles. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
What happens when your battery dies?
And so they can't find his dad. And the girl's like, did you notice when you typed that we were all alone? We're all alone. And he's like, whatever. You're crazy. And so then there's this like bully in the first scene. He's a friend of theirs.
Kinda. He's like the worst actor in the world, though.
I thought he was the best in the whole story.
What?
Yeah. That's, I thought the girl was really bad.
Yeah, she was. And what's funny is, like, I looked her up on IMDb, and she had been in, like, a dozen things before that.
Really? Yeah. She just was real, like, hey, I've got an idea. Like, way overacting. But anyway.
Yeah, have you ever seen that Saturday Night Live skit with the little kid acting camp?
No. No, but okay. It sounds great.
That's exactly what she sounded like.
Yeah. Okay. And so, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so they go back up to the room to experiment and see if the typewriter actually makes things come true. Right. And so they knock, they're like, there was a knock on the door and there's a knock on the door, but they go down to check it and there's no one there because he didn't write anybody was there. And so then they go back up and they're like, now Adam, the bully kid, is at the door and they're
covered
like,
in
but you didn't
rain.
Write knock. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's over there. And then that little kid is just a jerk.
He was a true jerk.
Yeah, because like they tell him all about his magical powers and about how he can get the typewriter going. And then what does he do? As soon as there's an opening, run to the typewriter and say there was a giant blob in the basement looking for fresh meat. It's like, if you think at all that the typewriter is going to make something magically appear, why would you do a monster in your friend's basement? Like,
I don't think they were friends. I don't think they were friends.
I don't think they were friends either.
But why did they hang out at the beginning? Anyway,
I don't know.
R.L. Stein really, he must have been like bullied by his quote unquote friends as a child. Because in my book last time, like the friends were always just being assholes to the main girl. But anyway, no, like, so nothing happens. The dad pops up with the flashlight and they're like, oh, I guess we imagined it all.
He just kept shining it in their faces.
Yeah. Yeah. I wondered about that, whether they had adequate lighting for that. And that was why. I don't know. And so anyway, the next day and
there was no blob in the basement.
No blob in the basement, which does play into it.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah. But that also created something that I have a huge problem with. But anyway, we'll go. So later, the kid writes his blob story, and he's like, and the blob terrorized the mall. And so...
Yeah, and then the video store.
Yeah. So then he goes to the video store in the mall, which we all know, we all remember the 90s. The mall was full of video rental stores.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and it's like, if you show your kids this show... Uh-huh. Right? They're going to have no idea what a VHS tape is.
No, they're like, why didn't he just stream it on Netflix? Yeah.
Why didn't he just look at it on Netflix?
What a dummy. He should have gone to iTunes. But anyway, no, so they do that. He goes to the mall, and then that kid shows up with a gang. The bully kid shows up like with a gang, and he's got his hair slicked back, wearing a denim jacket.
No, it was a denim vest.
Yeah. What was up with the 90s? And so this kid, I mean, the main character, he wasn't quite fat. He was husky. And
yeah, but I mean, like he was, you know, 80s and 90s fat kid though. Like if you look at like Chunk from the Goonies, he's not fat by today's standards anymore, but he was the fat kid. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We've talked about this multiple times.
Yes. But the main character does have a few pounds on this kid, right?
Yeah. And this kid comes around the corner with his little gang of bullies, and they're all just like, they don't have lines, so they're obviously extras, you know? And so anyway, he's just like, man, you're stupid or something. And he's like, why don't you go over to whatever section, because he's in the horror movies. And he's like, what? Yeah. I guess I'm in the jerk section, which I thought was... It reminded me of that Martha, Seinfeld.
Martha was like, that's one of your comebacks. I was like, oh.
Do you remember that Seinfeld whenever George kept eating the shrimp at the business meeting, and the guy was like, the ocean just called. They're running out of shrimp, and everyone laughs. And then like he drives home because he couldn't think of a comeback, and he's all mad, and then he pops back up and he's like, yeah, the jerk store called. They're running out of you. And no one laughed. Anyway, yeah. That's what it reminded me of immediately. But anyway, so all of a sudden, the blob pops up out of nowhere and is terrorizing the mall. Am I pretty accurate at that? Like, pretty much right then? Well,
it's not out of nowhere. The kid wrote it in his story.
Yeah, he wrote it in his story, but I mean, it didn't allude to it earlier, and it didn't happen immediately like everything else did.
But I know.
Anyway, so the blob pops up and it's terrorizing the mall, and then it eats the bully.
Yeah, because the bully thinks he's fake.
Yep. And that's so it. Then it cuts back over to the house.
And well, yeah, he's got to go fix everything.
Yeah.
By writing it in.
Okay. And the girl is there out of nowhere.
No, they invited her for dinner.
Did they? I don't remember. Yeah. Okay.
The dad was like, you should invite her for dinner.
Huh. I don't know what happened. I don't even remember the dad being there again. But anyway, so they're at the they're at the house, and he's trying to fix it on the typewriter, and the blob pops in the room and eats the typewriter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the whole show.
So the blob knew that he was willed into existence by this typewriter. And as it's charging after the kids, very slow, and it was definitely just two people in a blob suit. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
And the tongue. It was
a big foam rubber blob suit.
And so then the blob is coming after them, and the kid goes, hold on, I have an idea. When whatever the bully's kid's name was, when he tried
Adam,
yeah, when he tried to type that the blob was in the basement, he was never there. So the power's been within me the whole time.
And then he gets like fake lightning hair.
Yes. Yeah. So like fake lightning just goes apart, like at the top of like his brain area and into his hair. Fake lightning is just like showing there, like static electricity type lightning or whatever. And so it starts showing, and he like makes a wish, and then that little jerk kid just pops up, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, you wouldn't understand. And that was it. Right?
Yeah, that was how it ended.
Credits.
So I will say that this episode, I think, was not as good as Say Cheese and Die.
No.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this one.
No.
It was.
My main problem with it was, if the power's in him and his intention is to write, like he was an aspiring writer, then everything that he writes will come true. So it ruined that kid's dream. Like, did you think about that?
No, I did not think about the consequences of this.
Yeah. So that kid needs to get a new hobby. Writer.
He has to have a non-creative job for the rest of his life.
Or will he just be able to will things into existence by thinking about them from that point forward?
Like, oh, I found a big bag of money under my bed.
Oh my gosh, my life. If I could just will things into existence, I mean, I wouldn't work, would you?
No.
How would I keep up the facade of being a normal person if I could? Maybe I could just will into existence that everyone thinks I have a job while I'm just hanging out. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if his power level is on the same plane as like that kid from the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. Definitely.
We don't know the extent of his powers.
No. It needed to be like 10 years later and show us the consequences of this, but it didn't. So anyway, give it a rating.
I don't know. Do we do ratings?
How about we recommend whether we'd see it? I would say skip this one.
I might agree with you. I mean, if you're going to watch an episode about people willing like literature into existence, there's a much better Futurama episode than this.
I thought you were going to go with the Pagemaster with Macaulay Culkin.
Or like Inkheart. That
I never watched it. That was Brendan Fraser, right?
It was Brendan Fraser.
Huh. I never saw it. But anyway, yeah.
I watched some of it on a plane once.
Uh-huh.
Not very.
You remember that movie Beastly? That was like Twilight, but with like a Frankenstein type character.
I thought that one was that one not the Beauty and the Beast?
It was, but he looked like Frankenstein.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched that on a plane and I had no excuse. I've seen that and March of the Penguins on a plane, and I was not very happy how many penguins die in March of the Penguins. It was like, with winter, more penguins dead. Just showed dead penguins. It was very sad.
So I'm interested, because, I mean, I watched some of these episodes whenever I was younger, but I think I'm interested to go back and see if there's a noticeable decline from season to season, because Say Cheese and Die was season one. This was like season three.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, not very good. This one wasn't very good.
Not at all. So that was our review, I guess.
You want to go straight? I honestly don't know what else to say about this one. It wasn't very good. No. I mean, like after watching like the child actors from Horns last week.
Yeah.
Like this was just terrible.
Yeah, it was rough. But I thought they sucked in Say Cheese and Die, too, but it was just a better story.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I know.
All right, we'll skip it. We'll be back. This is a song called Analgeist by our band, The Remote Junkies. right, and we're back. That was Analgeist by the Remote Junkies. Do you remember why we called it that?
I do.
It kind of plays into the spooky month, so yep. That's why. What happened while we were recording this song, which at the time I think was called The Light of Day.
I believe so, yeah.
There was a guitar track that was being recorded, and very clearly in the guitar track, it goes, anus.
And it wasn't even like a mic'd guitar track. It was no. Like direct in. There was no microphones or anything like that. And it was just anus.
And so we were like, what in the hell was that? And so we came to the conclusion that there was a ghost, obviously, that was trying to reach us. So what we did was we manipulated that file just so that it had that stretched out across the beginning music.
Oh, yeah,
so
that was the wind.
Huh? Yeah, that's the wind. The wind sound in the beginning is that just stretched real far out. And we were saying, you know, we'll get that ghost message out into the world.
And we named our song after him.
Yeah, so, and we didn't want to call it Anal Ghost, so we called it Anal Geist, and that was it. So there's Remote Junkie history.
We put umlauts on everything, like a, you know, metal band.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really have much of, we pretty much the entire time in the band were really in the business of making ourselves laugh. And so yeah. That wasn't the first time we manipulated a ghost type image for the band. Do you remember?
No, the spoon has a picture of Jesus on the back.
Does it really? Yeah. I didn't even know that. No, I'm talking about the, and then there was junk. We found that ghost photo at the mall. Remember that?
Yes.
And we used it as the gradient.
Yeah, we found a ghost photo like in the parking lot in the mall.
And so we scanned it in and used it and then superimposed like a punk rock puppy on the cover.
It's like ghosts have been trying to tell us something for years.
We're like the ghost whisperers, but we're like, we just don't give a shit. Or we're like the kid from Sixth Sense. But also we just don't care in that scenario either. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with us and that kind of thing. But maybe we'll have a paranormal type podcast one day, or just maybe an episode. That would be great.
Like George Norrie.
Yes, that's actually like more my dream than. I mean, I don't know, really, that podcasting's a dream of mine, but I've enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. But that is, like, my dream podcast, like having something where people call in with ghost stories. Oh, my God. That would be the best. Call us in with your ghost stories.
Just year-round. We do movie and book reviews and then also listen to people's ghost stories.
Well, we've never really given... if anyone wants to contact us for anything, like movie suggestions or anything like that, feel free. Feel free to hit us up. And I mean, it's bmoviesandebooks@gmail.com. There's no hyphens in there, so it's all one word. Yeah. So bmoviesandebooks@gmail.com. We would love to hear back because we're looking at the stats. Not like we're burning up the charts, but we're doing okay. We have a lot of listeners across the world. We have... at least one person in Japan that keeps listening to our stuff. We want to hear from y'all. We just feel, yeah. You know what I feel like a lot of this podcast feels like to me? You remember in, what was that movie? Wet Hot American Summer, where the kid like has that radio show, the kid that won't take the shower. Where he's got a radio show that, and all the, everything's unplugged. Like he's just listening to himself. That's what this feels like. We're the dirty kid from Wet Hot American Summer. And just like him, we refuse to take showers. No, but anyway, now I guess we'll get into our books. You want to go first or do you want me to?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, so continuing with the basement theme, I went with I Live in Your Basement.
Uh-huh.
It was strange. Okay. I really enjoyed it. Let me say that first off. it was structured very strangely. Like, it was first person, which I think I was telling you, I don't remember. It's been a while since I've read Goosebumps, you know, like since the 90s,
like,
or whatever,
you know, like most adults.
Yes. And so I don't remember that many of them being first person. So that threw me off a little bit. And the chapter structure was very strange. Like, even on my iPhone, most of the chapters were only 2 or 3 pages.
Yeah.
Which is really, really short, right?
No, that seems, I mean, yeah, that's short for adult books, but I mean, that's pretty normal.
No, but whenever I did Stay Out of the Basement, there was only like 13 chapters, I think, something like that.
Oh,
this
really?
One had like this one had like 25.
Huh.
And it was kind of weird. Okay, so it starts off with this kid, Marco, and he's, you know, talking about his life and how, like, he's got, like, a helicopter mom, right? And she's always like, don't do this because you'll poke your eye out. You know, don't touch dogs because you'll get germs and stuff like that.
What just is helicopter mom? I'm unfamiliar with the term.
Oh, with the term?
Constantly hovering?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, constantly hovering over your child, not letting them do stuff.
Huh.
You know, like one of the quotes in there is like, Marco, don't breathe so much. You'll break your nose and stuff like that.
Really?
And so it's like he's super, super sheltered kid. And he sneaks out with his friend, right, to go play baseball at the local field. Right. And he's getting there. And he's running up to the mound. There's this big chick. And he makes a point to say how big she is. Like, she's like a good foot and a half taller than all the boys in town, and she's like way tougher and stuff like that. And she's swinging a baseball bat at the pitcher's mound, just kind of warming up, and he runs up and she doesn't see him and she clocks him in the head, right? And so he wakes up basically in bed at his house, and his mom's like, oh, I told you not to do that, you're gonna get hurt and all this stuff, right? And so he has this bandage on his head and his head hurts and everything. And this is where the book starts getting weird. Okay. Because like he gets a phone call from a kid and he's like, hey, I'm so glad you're okay. And he's like, who is this? And he's like, it's Keith. And he's like, I don't know who you are. And he's like, sure you do. I live in your basement. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm so glad you're okay, because now you're going to take care of me for the rest of your life. And I was like, all right. And so then, like, the whole, like, the book is very clearly divided into thirds, basically, like three-act structure.
Yeah.
And so this whole first act is him just kind of reality breaking down around him, right? And so it's like, you know, his mom comes in and she's like, oh no, the phone didn't ring. And he's like, yeah, I was talking to him. He's like, you didn't answer the phone. And she's like, honey, there's no phone in this room and stuff like that. And like, he just keeps hearing like the kid, like he sees him at one point, like down in the basement. And he keeps talking about how glad he is that he's going to be taking care of him for the rest of his life. And he keeps saying that like over and over again. And so they take him to the doctor, right? Because the mom's like, oh no, you're seeing things, right? And they take him to the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, well, to get a better idea of what's going on with you, we need to take out your brain. And the mom's like, okay, that sounds good. And the boy's like, what are you talking about, take out my brain? He's like, yeah, I need to dissect it and see what's wrong. And she's like, just listen to him, honey, he's the doctor. And like, there's no like, oh, it was just a joke or anything like that. It's like the mom and the doctor are super serious about taking out the kid's brain and stuff. And so like the chick comes over, her name was Gwenny, the big chick. And she's like, he's just like, things are getting weird, you know, like, I forgot to say, he was at the school and they were like, how was your doctor's visit? You know, the teacher wanted him to explain what the doctor's visit was like, because they were in health class, right? And nobody had been to the hospital before, like whenever he had his head injury. And this was before he went to the brain stealing doctor. And he was like, I don't know, because he was never in the hospital.
Yeah.
Right. So he was like, I don't remember what the hospital was like. And so that was one of the things, like he couldn't remember things. And so the chick comes over and he's like, you need to come down to the basement with me. He's like, there's this guy named Keith who's living in my basement. Please help me. Right.
This seemed a lot darker than most.
Yeah, it was crazy. And she was like, okay. And so he goes down, because like this whole time you're thinking that the kid is just going nuts, right? Because like at the end of every chapter, something weird happens,
yeah,
right? And then the first line of the next chapter negates it.
Yeah, right? That's classic. So classic R.L. Stein.
It happens every single chapter to the point where you're just like, ugh. And you're just expecting it, but then it starts getting weirder again, and you're like, wait, what just happened? But anyway, so they go down there, they can't find the kid, right? And he turns around, and she's like, Gwenny's like, I want to show you something. And he's like, okay. And her mouth opens up, right? And he said it gets wider and wider until her face disappears, and she pukes out her own guts. I'm not even joking. That's like the description. It's like, you know, and it's like first her stomach comes out and then her lungs. And it's like going into descriptive detail about all of her guts coming out of her insides, right? And then the story changes again, because now he wakes up again from his head injury that happened in the first chapter. And his mom's like, oh, and this time he's actually in the hospital, and his mom is not overprotective, right? And Gwenny's his sister. And it's like a completely different story for the next like 10 chapters.
Hey, David Lynch'd us.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's still in like first person or whatever. And he's talking about how everything's weird, and his normal memories start coming back to him about Gwenny being his sister and everything like that. And he comes out of the hospital, and then he sees Keith again. And he gets more like this time he's on his bed, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're okay. Now you can take care of me for the rest of your life and stuff like that. And it's just, he starts going insane again. Right. And so now it's like, what's real again? And it's like completely, it's like the same story, but all the details are different.
Yeah. You know?
And then the last couple chapters happen, like, you know, things start going crazy again. Like, he sees Keith, and he hits him over the head with a rock, or no, a paperweight. It was an owl paperweight. And Keith flips inside out, like he does the mouth thing, and all his guts come out. But he turns into like this like sluggy gloop sort of thing, right? And attacks him. And so he's trying to fight him, and like it goes down his nostrils and makes him like choke and stuff. And his mom, like, he runs down the stairs and he's trying to get his mom to help him, but his mom doesn't see it, but he's like choking on the floor. And like he rams it against the cabinet and it splits in half, and there's two of them, and he's like fighting this like slug monster thing. And then like he goes unconscious, and then he wakes up again. Right? But this time it's not Marco that's narrating it, it's Keith, right? And so it's like his mom is there, and he's like, she's like, honey, I told you not to play baseball outside. He's like, you're going to get hurt. And he's like, but mom, you know, I just wanted to be with my friends or whatever. And she's like, I told you not to play with the humans. And she's like, we live down here in the basement with, you know, with Marco and Gwenny and his mom. You know, they live upstairs. It's like, we're not supposed to talk to humans and stuff. And she's like, now just relax and go back to sleep. Everything will be okay in the morning. And then it talks about him puking up his guts again and how refreshing it feels, which was weird, right? Because it's like, I love feeling like the air on my, like on my lungs and stuff like that. Huh. And then Marco walks in, like into the basement, and he's like, oh man, did he see me? And then like the last chapter is him talking to Marco, and he's like, okay, Marco, it's just a dream. Go back upstairs. Don't worry about it. It's just a weird dream. And then he's like, I hope he didn't see me. And that was like it.
That's a bizarre book.
Yeah. It was awesome. I really, really liked it. Like, yeah. even as not a child, like children's book, I think it was just total mind screw, like the whole entire time.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. Actually,
yeah. And so it's like, you know, the cover of it is like just generic, like blob coming out of it. It actually, like, here you can see a picture of it.
Yeah,
it looks like the blob from The Blob That Ate Everything that we just watched.
Yeah,
like, and it has nothing to do really with the rest of the show or with the rest of the book. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that seems like really cool. Like,
I highly recommend this one. I mean, I just gave away everything that happened, but it was like really well written. You know, I enjoyed it. It had its creepy moments, a lot of body horror for a Goosebumps book.
Like, yeah,
it was nutso.
That sounds like more, you know, he tends to write about monsters and stuff like that, but that sounds much more like cerebral than.
Yeah, it was a psychological like horror book aimed at little kids.
So you would definitely recommend that one.
I would definitely recommend that one. I mean, I don't even care if you're 30, you know, or whatever. Go read that one. It was good.
Was it actually like creepy as an adult or not?
Yeah, actually. I mean, like, I was not expecting all the body horror stuff. And yeah. He goes into detail.
Hmm.
And then for some reason, their organs are pink and yellow. It's strange. But it's like, I mean, it was, like you said, it was kind of like Lynchian. You don't know, like, your character just changes. Yeah, and your character changes characters in the middle of the book, and then you've got a different narrator at the end, and it just calls into question really the reality of everything that you just read.
Yeah, you got the like, unreliable narrator.
Yeah, it was really well done. I liked it a lot. I recommend it. Well, I live in your basement.
Are you ready to get into my book?
Sure.
Or do you have more to say about yours?
No, I mean it was good. Like it was so much better than I was expecting with generic blob on the cover and I live in your basement.
Yeah, it sounds like your book was really, really cool.
It was.
I, on the other hand, read One Day at Horrorland.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I found just some weird inconsistencies just in general before we get started. This thing, it's copyright 1994. But it was first printed. It says first printing November 2008. What I think happened was this either A, wasn't he didn't feel that this was up to par, or B, this actually kicked off the Goosebumps Horrorland series, which happened, you know, we were adults. So I'd never really even heard of it until recently.
Yeah, till we started doing research into Goosebumps.
Yeah. What I think happened was maybe this. It seems like this is a prequel. It says on the back, "Enter Horrorland for the very first time in this classic prequel to the all new Goosebumps Horrorland series." But this is a actual just normal Goosebumps. So I guess just you know, there's brand splitting at this point. I basically it is a story.
Wait, hold on. Does it have like the Horrorland like trade dressing and stuff? Does it specifically say it's part of the Horrorland series?
No.
You said it's a prequel to the Horrorland series, right?
Yeah, that's what it says on the back of the book.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Because I just looked it up. It was done in 94. Yeah.
Maybe
it's first pressing of that, like, edition? With the Horrorland stuff.
I don't even know. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're reading too much into it. But yeah, this doesn't have the Goosebumps Horrorland logo on it. It just says Goosebumps, One Day at Horrorland.
Okay.
And it was the only Goosebumps at my local library. And
is that why you chose this one?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to do Welcome to Dead House. I remember liking it as a kid, and I don't really know where my copies are of my childhood books, a lot of them. But anyway, no, this was it was odd. One, picking it up at the library was odd because it was in the child section. And last time I just bought it off the Kindle, but I didn't see one because not all of them are available on the Kindle, or they're like $6, which is a good price, I guess. But just for this, like for a 1 hour read as an adult, you know, maybe not. Yeah. I didn't want to blow $6 on it. So I went down to the library. And so I was like, where are y'all's Goosebumps? Even though I'd already looked it up and saw that it was in the kids section, but I wanted like this lady, you know, I wanted the librarian to show me so I could get in and out as quick as possible because they were having like little kid story time and stuff. And so anyway, it was embarrassing all around. And she was like, "Oh, are you just a huge R.L. Stine fan?" Like, kind of making fun of me. The librarian did. And so I was like, immediately just lied. Like, "Oh, no, my nephew is." And I'm just, she's like, "So you're renting things for your nephew?" Yeah, like, "All right, lady, just leave me alone.
We're doing a podcast."
Yeah, I should have.
You should have plugged the podcast.
My non-existent nephew. Like, is what I went with. I'm an absolutely horrible liar. I can't lie well, so I just don't. But anyway, that time I did, and it was a horrible lie is normal. Like, she could tell that I was, "No, this is for me. I just want to end this conversation." She read that subtext. So anyway, Goosebumps, One Day at Horrorland. It's a family is going on a road trip. I forget where they're going. But they're stuck in the desert and the dad left the maps at home. And the main character, Lizzie, she's got a brother. His name is Luke, and his friend Clay is going on the trip with him. And just like classic Goosebumps fashion, Luke, the brother, is kind of a dick. Like, he's just, like, all he does is, like, tries to scare. He antagonizes. He tries to scare people. And he's like, in the car ride, he's like, "I'm the mad pincher," and just starts pinching him. Like, what in the heck? And so anyway, so the mom and dad start going at it a little bit. They're mad because the dad left the maps. And again, it's like, why not check the GPS, right? Yeah, technology's way changed since this. But anyway. So they come across a place called Horrorland. Okay. And so the kids are like,
in the middle of the desert.
In the middle of the desert. And there's not really many cars there at all. So the kids are like, "Let's go to Horrorland." Do it.
Like a theme park?
Yeah. It was an amusement park. And so, so the kids are like, "Oh, let's go." Because there was like this billboard monster. And so, anyway, they were like, "It's better than being lost in the desert." So, okay, we'll go. So they get out of the car and start walking up to it, and their car explodes. And they're like, "What?" And the parents are like, "Oh my gosh, we need to use a phone. There are these like monster-looking creatures that work there." But, you know, they're wearing suits is what the family thinks. Of course, they're monsters. It wasn't. And so anyway, they're like, "Nope, no phones here." And they're like, "Y'all don't have phones in this whole theme park?" And they're like, "No, but come on inside. We'll take care of you." So they're like, "Oh, okay." So the parents are like, "We're going to work this car issue out. I mean, that's bizarre." And so the kids, they're like, "Well, while y'all are doing that, we're going to go ride these rides." And I forget what the ride, I forget all of the rides, I'll put it that way, but all of them are like, the one that stuck out, let me see, there was one, it's so much easier when you can just highlight it in the Kindle and go right to it, but I ought to highlight in this library book.
Highlight your Goosebumps.
Be like, "My nephew was real into highlighters." So anyway, but no, they They start going around this park, and there are all these signs everywhere, and they're just like, you know, "Enter at your own risk," and all this crap. And so anyway, they go to this slide called the Doom Slide, and I didn't mention that Clay, the friend of Luke's, he's like a big scaredy cat, but always kind of tries to keep up with Luke. You know, doesn't want Luke to think that he's afraid, but Lizzie totally notices that Clay is really afraid of things. And so there's a slide that says, it's a row of 10 slides, and it says, "Don't choose the Doom Slide or otherwise you'll slide forever." And so they're like, "Yeah, okay, that's kind of weird." And so they all jump, and I forget, Lizzie and her brother jump in two of them, and then Clay jumps in the 10th one. and they all slide, and they just go through this weird twists and maze, and then just free fall drops and stuff like that. And then the slide just basically just dumps them out at the bottom, just dumps them, and they hit the ground. And so, but Clay never shows back up. And they're like, oh my gosh, what could happen? So, I mean, that doesn't make sense. So they go to the front of the park, and they're, or the front of that ride, and they're like, hey, our friend never showed up. And they're like, I guess he chose the doom slide. And that, and just a real quick side note, remember how my last book kept saying, you know, it's too scary, right?
Yeah.
They did that so much in this, like, oh, that ride's too scary. And so anyway, I was like, oh my gosh. So Lizzie's like, you know what? We got to find Clay. Our parents will make us leave immediately if we run into him. And that was her reasoning. They're going to make us leave immediately. But where? I mean, in the parking lot with their blown up car? Come on. Come on, Lizzie. And so anyway.
Get your head's a game.
Yeah. So they were like, all right, we're going down slide 10. And so they go down slide 10. And
when is that the slide that Clay went down?
Clay chose, yeah. And so anyway, I mean, they weren't labeled doom slide, you know. Otherwise, it'd be like, we're going on these other ones that are obviously legit. But I'd probably have to slide down the doom slide. Anyway, so they do, and Lizzie's like, oh my god, we're gonna fall forever. She was like, it's really freaking her out, and her brother's freaking out too, and they. We're like, and we fell forever, you know. And then the next chapter, I'm like, only we didn't, you know. And they landed, they landed on this other part of the park. It went like that slide evidently wrapped all the way around, maybe underground. It didn't go into the detail, but it landed at this place that it was like, welcome to Doom, human population zero.
So I mean, like seriously, it's a place populated by monsters. I don't think the logistics of a slide are really that important.
No. So they pop out, and they hit the ground hard as well over there. And Clay is like, yeah, I didn't see y'all, so I've just been sitting here waiting for y'all. And they're like, okay, that's kind of weird. And so he's like, yeah, it's a whole nother side of the park. And that side's a little more sinister, even though it really wasn't much more, because the entire park has been like, enter, you will die if you go on this ride. You know, like these signs are pretty explicit. And so, they start walking around, and then they find it's a hall of mirrors, and they go through this hall of mirrors, and they all get separated, and they all end up, I'm just kind of going a little faster.
Yeah, with this.
So they all get separated, and they can hear each other, and they can see each other, and the walls are closing in on this hall, and they're squishing them. And they're like squished in this mirror, and they're about to panic and freak out. And she was like, yeah, it was painful, blah, 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 and all this stuff. They were losing air, and then all of a sudden the floor drops out, and they drop again. And just fall
into
on the ground.
Another doom slide.
Yeah. And no. And so then they were like, they run across these teenagers, and the teenagers, it was like, welcome to Alligator Pond or whatever it was. It was like, go for a swim if you dare. And they're like, those kids are crazy. And they see, like, just see a straight up alligator there. Anyway. So it keeps on doing this, and they eventually run back in to their parents. And their parents are like, we've been looking all over for you. They were right. There were no phones in this entire park. And, and so they're like, yeah, there's something really, really off with this park. And the mom's like, well, I kind of want to go for a ride before we leave. We're going to have to figure something out. They said that they would help us out. They would get us a ride home. And so the mom's like, let's go through, what is it called? The Coffin Cruise. And so everyone is like, oh, okay, we'll jump in these coffins. And what it was, where the lid was blocking them from seeing each other. And so they could hear each other. So they were talking. They're like, the mom's like, oh, I wonder if we're free floating or if this is on a ride. Track. Yeah, on a track. And so anyway, they're like, it doesn't matter. And the girl, Lizzie's like, this is the most peaceful part of the entire day. And then all of a sudden, all the lids like just close and lock, and then they mm-hmm. all start feeling like spiders crawling all over them.
Nice.
And or really just on their legs, but they couldn't reach them because they couldn't get up in the coffin.
Yeah.
And so they're trying, like, flipping out, and then you know, it's like, oh no, and where are we gonna suffocate forever? And then the next chapter is like, but then the lids pop up, you know, exactly like R.L. Stine. I noticed that every chapter was cliffhangers in this.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so they get out, and the monsters, they go to the front gate of the place, and there's no one anywhere around, and the monsters all circle them, and the fence had been padlocked, and there was no way out. And then the monsters were like, this one lead monster was like, I'm MC, whatever his face was. Anyway, and he's like, we've been watching y'all all day. Y'all have been hidden participants on our game show. And they're like, oh, I'm unfamiliar with that game show. And he's like, oh, it comes on the Monster Channel. And they're like, and the dad goes, oh, well, we don't have cable. anyway, and so they're like, we blew up your car, and we're really we're going to give you a new car as your prize. And so they're okay, and the dad was kind of pissed, but the kids were like, new car, new car, you know.
You gotta pay taxes on that.
Gotta pay taxes. I thought about that, and I also thought about all the contents in the car were still exploded. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I would be so much, I'd be really mad if someone blew my car up and gave me the exact same car. I mean, I got stuff in my car I want to keep. So anyway, but, and so they're like, just come right this way. You'd go through this hallway. And so they go through the hallway, and then they're in this labyrinth, like not labyrinth. It's kind of like a obstacle course. And, they're like, you have 60 seconds to live, go. And everyone's running, and they're all attacked by different type monsters. And so it's like 56 seconds, and like the dad gets snatched up by a monster, like 50 seconds, and the brother gets snatched up. And so Lizzie starts getting attacked by this monster. It throws her to the ground at like 2 seconds left, and his foot comes and starts smashing her head. And she's like, oh no, is this how I die? And then the buzzer rings, and they're like, how many survivors do we have? And they're like, three out of five. And she's like, oh no. And she starts crying. And they were like, because she saw her parents get it early, you know? And yeah. So they're like, oh no, let me recount. 5 out of 5. It was another one of his little things that he did. And so anyway, so 5 out of 5. And the dad's like bleeding real bad. And he's like, what in the hell is this? And so basically they end up finding out that she goes up to one of the monsters and starts to pull the mask, but the mask doesn't pull. Obviously they were monsters. Yeah. Spoiler alert. They were monsters the entire time. And so they lead them to this pond. I think it may have been, I think it was the alligator pond. So they lead them there, and they're like, all right, no, it wasn't the alligator pond. This pond was like this goo pond. And they were like, watch what happens. And they throw a rock, and immediately like the goo just sucks the rock down. And so they're like, nice. So you jump in, or we're pushing you in. We take this very seriously. We don't joke. And so Lizzie starts thinking about all these signs. And one of the signs said, no pinching. We're serious. Okay. And so she was like,
nice callback.
Yeah. So she starts thinking about it, and she's like, they take this seriously. They don't joke. And so she pinches one of them, and they just popped, like the monster popped. And so she starts running around pinching him, and they're like, ah, and they start scattering. Then the parents, they find their way out the exit, and they steal a bus and drive home. And then, yeah, it didn't say how they found their way back home or anything. I mean, it did. It kind of went into it, but it didn't go into much details about it. And so they go back home, and everything was good until they got off at their house, like got out of the car, and there was a monster that had hitched a ride, and they were like, what are you doing? And he was like, I just was gonna give you passes for next year. That was it. I will say, my summary of it didn't make it as good as it was. Uh-huh. It wasn't written as well as most Goosebumps. Maybe he rushed through it or something. It just felt like the reading level dropped. I feel like these are probably average of like a fourth or fifth grade reading level. Mm-hmm. They're probably aimed at third graders or something. I don't know. I mean, I read these I was in third grade, so that's why I'm saying that. But these were not obviously not, you know, scholarly, but it was a lot of simple sentences. Lots. But that said, you remember The Day the Words Went Away that Christina Escamilla wrote that we reviewed?
Yeah.
It was like that in the sense that there wasn't a cohesive type plot, but it was almost, I mean, there was a cohesive plot, but it wasn't, chapters weren't plot based. It just kind of opened up a world and let them explore, much like her book did. And I loved that book. But anyway, this was like that. And this, it was enjoyable. I know if I had a kid, I would definitely throw this book at him, probably toward the
just
first.
Throw it at
just
him.
Just throw it at him. No, I mean, I would recommend that they read this book probably toward the beginning, like before any other ones, only because it was very short sentences that led from point A to point B to whatever. And also it did have some creepy elements. Obviously, it wasn't as cerebral. I don't know why I'm having trouble saying that word. It wasn't as cerebral as your book. It was just straight up monster horror. But I liked it. I thought it was good. It was a very, very good book. It just, for some reason, felt like the reading level slipped between this and the one that I read last week.
If it was originally done in 94... Right, yeah. And that means it was one of the first ones, right?
Yeah, I think 93 was the first one. Oh, crap. It has to be older than that. 93 puts me in fifth grade, and I know that I had these in my fourth grade class. So I don't know, whatever.
Well, this one said it was on the bestseller list in 94.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Yours was.
Okay. So, yeah, we're fine. We're fine. I was reading these in third and fourth grade. But no, I liked it. I would recommend it. That said, I'm happy that we're done with our two-part Goosebumps so that I don't have to read any more Goosebumps for a long time and maybe never.
Till next October. Now, I do have a question for you.
Sure.
You did The Haunted Mask last time, right?
Yes.
And you had read The Haunted Mask before, correct?
Mm-hmm. As a kid.
Okay. Did you read this one?
Did I read what? As a kid? The Horrorland one? No, I'd never heard of it.
Okay. So the same thing with mine. I read Stay Out of the Basement whenever I was younger. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've never read I Live in Your Basement till honestly yesterday. But I was just wondering if, you know, you had felt nostalgia had, you know, messed with your perception of how good they were at all, right? And so since we had both read one that we didn't read when we were younger and one when we did, do you feel like that had any sort of coloring on how much you enjoyed it?
No, because I enjoyed this one more than The Haunted Mask.
I agree with you. I enjoyed this one better than Stay Out of the Basement, although I really like Stay Out of the Basement. But I think it's because I read it whenever I was a kid.
Yeah.
but I think this one was much better as an actual story.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, I think thinking back at it, it's Little Marine Syndrome. Thinking back before rewatching it, I was like, oh, yeah, that was good. And then rewatching it, or in this case, rereading it, it turns out it wasn't as good. Now, that said, mm-hmm. we haven't talked about Little Marines ever on here. I urge all the listeners, if you're fans of horrible, horrible, horrible movies, worse than Plan 9, I would put it as one of the worst movies ever, at least in top five. Ankle Biters was real high about the little people vampires, Ankle Biters. That was way up there. But this, I mean, Little Marines is horrible. But no, what I'm saying is, yeah, nostalgia affects it, but I don't really see that nostalgia affects it after you reread it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel that this holds up to, like, horror nowadays?
Kids or adult?
Well, I don't know that much about kids' horror, so I'm just asking you.
I think it's definitely more of like a 50s throwback, style horror.
It's kind of got like a drive-in feel to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's a throwback to that type of stuff. I think most adult horror now is, you have ghost stories, which are kind of timeless, and that hadn't really changed much, but a lot of killer stories now, I don't really know. I think that this is much more 50s style. It's not present day type. That said, I think really, I believe kids these days actually are reading young adult earlier, and some young adult horror is actually really good. I forget who wrote it. I read a book a while back called Rotters that was a young adult horror. That was incredibly dark, and they're adapting it for a movie, which was the reason I read it, because they said it was like movies that are coming out that base film adaptations that will obviously be PG-13 but way too dark if they followed the source material. Rotters was incredibly dark. It was about a kid that gets taken in basically by a grave robber. It was really good. And what I think, you know, I think that young adult horror is what kids are reading, except for I got a brother-in-law that's 10 years old. Brother-in-law that's 10. Kelsey's stepbrother, he's maybe even younger than that. And he reads Goosebumps. And
does he? Mm-hmm. So they're still relevant.
Yeah, I think that they're relevant. This was last year, because I was asking him what he wanted for Christmas, and he was like, I don't know. And he had a Goosebumps book, and I was like, what if I bought you some Goosebumps? He's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I don't know, but, I mean, so I think that they're still relevant. Kids probably have a tough time wrapping their head around technology, you know, technological changes, because they've been raised with the internet and cell phones and, you know.
Yeah, because they're totally 90s.
Yeah.
But Goosebumps are.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that these hold up. I just think that kids are starting on the young adult stuff, which the young adult stuff is much more adult in a lot of scenarios than you know, grown-up horror, than adult horror. Mm-hmm. The other trend I've seen is that young adult, and I haven't read a lot, but what I have read, I don't know, when I was a kid, I felt like the books that I read didn't really have much bad language in them. And I mean, they had like the occasional damn, you know, something like that. I mean, I'm not talking about like, you know, adult things that I read as a child, but books directed at kids didn't really have much. And books these days, I mean, they're rated R. I mean, at a much earlier age. So that I find that trend a little odd, but whatever.
But I mean, these are all definitely clean.
Yeah, these are. I mean, yeah, mild. If there's any profanity, it's extremely mild. I don't think there has been. I mean, nothing that really I can think back and remember.
No.
But yeah, I think Goosebumps are still relevant. But like I said, I'm happy that we're wrapping up Spooky Month, and I won't be reading Goosebumps for a while. Are you going to continue with your trend of reading Goosebumps?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, I work with kids, and I think if any of them asked me for recommendations on horror stuff, I would recommend it to them.
Yeah, but what age is the cutoff for this? I would say 12. I can't.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
I know I lost interest after fifth or sixth grade, somewhere around there. I'd occasionally watch the show on Saturday mornings only because it came on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, after that age, I mean, you move on to, like, Clive Barker and stuff, right?
Yeah. No, I was real into the Marquis de Sade. I went straight from Goosebumps into his collection. No, I honestly, I didn't really care for a little while about, you know, junior high. I don't remember reading things that I didn't have to. Did you?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
sit down.
No. I mean, I think after the Goosebumps wore away their welcome, it just went straight to, like, slasher flicks and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That was,
I mean, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess unless you have anything else, that's pretty much it.
No, I mean, I was just really pleasantly surprised with I Live in Your Basement. Like, yeah. Honestly, I think I'd recommend it to really anybody.
Yeah, it sounds, honestly, I might actually, I mean, because these things take, what, 45 minutes to read, an hour?
Yeah.
I might actually read that just because, but anyway, that's it. I guess follow us on Twitter at B and E Pod. That's our handle.
Beanie Pod.
Yeah. So anyway, follow us on Twitter at B and E Pod, and that's pretty much it. We'll see y'all next time.